We dominate the world. We dominate the world. We dominate the world. We dominate. We dominate. We dominate. We dominate. We dominate the world.
First thing, we're a few weeks now after your big win at the Barras. How's your feelings been since then? Has it kind of sunk in you?
I think it's starting to, just the way things have kind of worked out now, after the Barras, I've just kind of, things have just got busier and busier. I don't know if really had a chance to take my bit off the gas yet, but no, the past couple of days it's kind of started to sink in, especially now that the rematch has been announced and stuff like that. It's starting to kind of feel a wee bit more real.
Yeah, because you have been, as you said to me, you've been pretty busy.
Aye.
Absolutely swarmed. This is the first chance you've actually had to speak to anybody, really.
That's it, aye. Yep, you're the first one.
Oh, brilliant. Exclusive. That's what I like to hear.
That's it, aye.
Aye, because obviously you have been a champ in other promotions, but obviously now you're a world champ, and it's a Grand Slam champion as well. I mean, only the second in the country's history, ICW. How does that feel?
Aye, well, you know what? It was always something kind of, in the back of my head. Obviously BT was the first Grand Slam champion, but I just kind of, it was a constant thing. I was always saying, I can date everything. Just, obviously it was kind of gone unnoticed at the time and stuff like that, but then as it started getting closer, and then obviously winning the Square Go and the King of Insanity back at the Hydro and stuff like that, I was like, this is it. It's a real chance to tick off all the boxes and be the first person to do it.
I mean, talking about the Square Go, I mean, you spoke to us at Suplex Retweet just before the Square Go, and you were many of our guys' picks, so we were quite pleased to see you win that one. I mean, how did that feel? That was quite a party atmosphere in the ABC that night.
Oh, aye, man, it was some buzz. it was one of the things, obviously it was such a long day, just kind of waiting throughout the show, because I was in at number 30, so just sitting there, the anticipation just kept building and building. Every time you heard that buzzer going and seeing somebody else going out in the crowd's reaction and stuff, so that way it started getting a bit antsy, I hope I get the same reaction and stuff like that. But it was just, finally, when it was in there and it was down to just myself and Mark, and the crowd were 50-50 between the two of us, and we kind of just both looked at each other and this is brilliant, man, this is what we live for when we want. When people say we want to be professional wrestlers, it's the kind of moments that we're talking about. It was brilliant.
Yeah, because obviously Mark's really popular himself, and I think he's got his loyal fans in there as well, so I think the place would have went equally as mental if he won it.
Aye, he's a cracking worker, man. I mean, he's the exact same as myself. Mark's only a year older than me. I mean, we've grafted for everything we've got, I'm so happy with everything he's getting now as well, obviously winning the Zero G title and stuff like that. So I was just happy to see some of the younger boys starting to kind of get the push towards the spotlight.
Aye, because obviously you were talking about kind of the anticipation of Square Go. I remember, because obviously Aspen, Lewis and Kayleigh were all the first 10.
Aye.
And you've all pretty much got the same theme and the same, so it's kind of what one is it?
I think that was kind of the reason behind it, was just to keep building the suspense among the fans, kind of thing. Obviously, kind of the lead up to the Square Go, I think I was one of the kind of top contenders, for people that thought they were going to win it and stuff like that. So I think that was it. And obviously, because there's so many of us, we all use the same entrance music and saw the same videos and stuff like that. I think that was just a way to kind of keep constantly teasing people.
Aye.
It wasn't even just, it didn't just work out the crowd, it was teasing me every time and off,
With the World Championship right now, obviously you're falling in the footsteps now of some big names who have held that belt. You're talking about the likes of obviously Drew Galloway, Drew McIntyre in WWE. You could
pick
Kelly and Dane, and the likes of Jado and Trent Seven.
How many
people are following the footsteps
today, guys? Oh, I mean, it's monumental, man. I mean, literally the night I won the title, I came back and checked my phone, and one of the first things I'd seen was a message from Drew himself. He shot me over every message, just saying congratulations and stuff, and obviously just kind of letting me know this is when the real work starts. I always say I've bust my ass to get where I've gone, but there's no time now to take the foot off the pedal. It's time to just drop a gear and keep pushing forward.
It's good to see Drew still keeping an eye on the guys here. Obviously had
definitely
last weekend.
Yep, I heard it was a great success. I wasn't able to get there myself, I was kind of busy over the weekend, but I followed it myself and such, and I seen the kind of the tweets and stuff that Drew had put out. I thought it was just a cracking thing, especially for all the younger guys trying to get through just now. Puts a bit of kind of mainstream attention their way as well.
I mean, some of the guys in it were obviously getting retweets from a guy like Drew.
Exactly, aye. He's
killing it now on Raw. He's off for the moment. Hopefully that goes well.
He is indeed, aye. Aye, you're the best. I'm hoping he gets everything he's always wanted.
Aye, definitely. I think this will be a better second run for him than his first run, 100%.
Oh, aye. Absolutely.
Oh, the complete package now, I think, to be fair.
Yep, that's it. He did exactly what he had to, and now he's reaping all the benefits.
Oh, totally. It's obviously helping the rest of the guys, obviously, the attention he's brought to the industry over here.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Going back, obviously, now to the actual match at the Baromania. Obviously, there was the moment where your music hit, obviously, it was still during the match. I mean, what was kind of your feelings like just before your music hit, obviously, backstage, waiting for this to happen? I mean, was there a bit of butterflies, or were you quite calm?
You know, see, to be honest, even looking back on it, I can't really remember. I don't know if it was just like the kind of surge of adrenaline or that. I can't even really remember what was running through my head at the time. I was just kind of, I think because like I was kind of like at gorilla position, there were so many people and like everybody was like hugging me and wishing me good luck stuff, like literally right up to the point where my entrance music hit. I was literally just sort of grabbed the briefcase and then it was go time. It wasn't until obviously I'd pinned Whiplash and I kind of had that split second to just sit and like look at the crowd and look at the carnage that they two created right about us, and I think that was just kind of after it was done was when the butterflies kind of sank in, if you get what I mean.
Aye.
Like it was just obviously, and then I had the ladder match previous to that, so it was leading up to it, like my mind was just on that, like get that out of the way and then I can really concentrate what's coming next. But it just seemed to happen so quickly, to be honest. It was
aye, totally. I mean, that ladder match as well, I mean, that was something going from a ladder match like that, you then having to go out there, and obviously, that wasn't exactly a clean canvas when you went out there. There was obviously weapons galore in there, so...
Oh, absolutely. I mean, like, I didn't even, obviously, it was Whiplash and BT that done the whole shenanigans with the glass, but even I'm sitting here, like, that's 2 weeks after it, my hands have still got cuts and scratches, and I'm covered in bruises and stuff, like, I was only in there for 2 minutes, like...
Mate, I talked to Thomas, one of my mates got a boomerang video of the moment that the glass shattered.
Oh, right, aye.
I see the glass go to Thomas's face and back. It's like,
oh, aye. No, I think there was a slow motion, like, GIF on Twitter.
Aye.
And it was the same, like, you could just, it's like, almost like half the panel, man, just scalps him in the face. You just see the hands go up and he like falls onto the ropes kind of thing. It was even like I was the other side of the ring and I felt glass like bouncing off my face and my chest and stuff like that when I was lying down, and it was a war zone, man.
It was absolutely crazy, but some spectacle. I mean, I remember the reactions of where the crowd I was with, we were standing right next to the entranceway, and there were the main bit was, and when we seen Lewis and Aspen coming behind you with that sheet of glass, it was like, oh, that's not going to go well.
I kind of tried not to look at it too much, just kind of like, right, get in here and get busy and hopefully I'll no notice. But no, I mean, like, I doff my hat to Whiplash, man. It takes a serious sack of cojones to be able to pull off something like that, man, and obviously I'd rather him than me.
It's good to see he's recovering well. I seen him put a sort on Twitter the day that he's still pumping the weights away. I mean,
he seems to be. He's on the mend, and I hope to see him back sooner rather than later.
That's good.
Talking
about your match
earlier tonight,
obviously with Kenny, how
do
you think that went? Obviously,
I'd been looking forward to it. Like, I've not done a ladder match in at least 2-3 years or something. I think the last one I done was the night the NAK broke up. And we had the multi-man. It was all the members of the NAK. That was it. It was the night we defected to the Black Label.
Had some good ladder matches in history. I remember the one, was it you and Davey versus NAK and Smeary and Death Squad?
Smeary and Death Squad, aye.
One of my favourite matches actually in ICW, that one, so.
That was hectic as well, because I mean, Tommy End obviously like was quite hot on the circuit at that point, so he was travelling about and I believe he was down south or something, and he literally got to the venue, I mean, like, half an hour before we went out. So it was literally just all these bodies. Tommy walks in and we all just start screaming ideas at him, like, get ready, let's go! Yeah, I bet.
He's hot then, he's hot now.
Oh, absolutely. That's it. Everybody just seems to be going from strength to strength just now. I mean, it's absolutely crazy. People said, like, the boom period happened about, like, say, 4 or 5 years ago. I think it's, like, it's not even a boom period. It's going to be, like, a boom century, man. Like, everything just seems to be getting bigger and badder and stronger.
Oh, I'm thinking that myself. It's a good chance to launch a wrestling podcast.
Definitely, definitely. Capitalise on that.
Definitely. But the match with Kenny was really good. I mean, there were some good spots in that as well. The table one outside looked pretty interesting. How did that feel on you? It looked quite sore.
Oh, that sucked. Freaking floppy donkey businessman. That was horrific.
I mean, I take it you were meant to go through that table.
Oh, aye. Do you know what the thing was? It was one of those ones, like, it hit with a thud kind of thing. And then I remember, like, so we've hit the table and, like, slid down to the floor. And I just remember sitting there thinking, my big toe is throbbing, man. Like, my big toe was in that. And Kaylee, could, like, you'll probably be able to see it back if you look at, if you check the on-demand.
Right.
But Kaylee crawls over to me. Obviously, she's expected the table to break, so she's all panicked, like, are you okay? Are you okay? And I'm just sitting there, like, I think I've broke my big toe. My big toe is really, really sore. And she burst out laughing, but I was happy. I was like, I'm not kidding. Stop laughing at me. My big toe is really hurt just now.
That was quite close. Nice. Well, you had to get back in there pretty quickly and do the finish.
I know. I was kind of hoping Kenny was going to give me a wee bit of a break, but no chance, man. That boy was buzzing. He was straight up that ladder. I was like, oh, God's sake. But nah, it was cracking, man. It was honestly, it was something that he just went. Like, it was an emotional roller coaster, like, not even just for the audience, but for myself. I was just sort of like, from watching the crowd come in and stuff like that, and then seeing the first match, obviously, like, Jackie and Lionheart absolutely nailed it, man. The ovation those boys were getting, it was putting the absolute fear up everybody backstage, but it was just not a one night. It was absolutely incredible.
I mean, the thing about it, us guys at the Suplex Retweet, we actually thought it was going to be a full Filthy Mania running wild that night as well. Obviously, you know what I mean? I think the phrase was used was Glasgow's never going to be as filthy as it was that night.
Aye, no, I think we were hoping for a complete washout, but things just weren't to be. But I think we made a good statement that night anyway.
Aye, totally. I mean, the thing about your cash in at that event as well, Baramania, I mean, it kind of felt to me like obviously it was full circle from what you had last year. I mean, we had the with Whiplash returning with your match with Enfu at the last year's Baramania, and then
aye, well, that was it. Aye.
You pin, and obviously for you to pin Whiplash in during a death match, and you being the King of Insanity, it's pretty much like it was all there for you.
Oh, it was pretty cool. I don't know. Sometimes like ICW, I think, gets a lot of stick from some of the fans and stuff about kind of creative not being what it used to be. But I think when the guys in the office, when they nail it, like they fucking nail it, man. Like there's nothing better. And I think that's just one of those prime examples. It's something new people are going to be able to come into the product and literally watch me grow up from a little boy. And then especially, as you said, the past year between, you know, Baramania last year and then this year is just, it's done exactly what you said. It's come completely full circle, and it's kind of, it's awfully exciting now to see where we go and see what the new chapters are going to be like.
I mean, totally. I mean, it's going to have a nice ring to the tongue when you come out, leader of the Filthy Generation, King of Insanity, Grand Slam champion, World Heavyweight champion.
Oh, aye, there's a t-shirt to come out soon as well. Don't worry, I'm not sleeping on that.
You still get six t-shirts. You must be kicking the merchandise now.
Well, that's going to be my next one. I've already got the King of Everett now, so why not go for merchandise?
Aye, sure. Well, I mean, like I said, we all expected you, most of us expected you to cash in, but it was interesting to see you cash in the way you did. I mean, all Seth Rollins, WrestleMania 31 style. I mean, with Rollins as well. Did you kind of expect that beforehand, and what was it like to do it that way?
Well, no, I mean, there had always been kind of plans leading up to it, but I think they get changed quite quickly. But I mean, when obviously the idea of what was going to happen at the barriers get pitched to me, I sat myself and thought, aye, that's quite Seth Rollins, eh? And I think that's kind of what appealed to me a wee bit. It's just the kind of similarity, because I remember sitting watching that WrestleMania and thinking, like, of all the cash-ins I've seen, that was just perfect, man. And it kind of, I don't know, it was a nice wee ending to my own story in the same sort of, as you said, like, it's obviously two different sort of products, but we share a lot of similarities and stuff like that. And I just think it wrapped it up in a nice wee bow, and you know, it's out there for everybody to see.
Yeah, like I said as well, ring-wise as well, there's some similarities with you and Rollins, obviously kind of guys who have came from a high-flying style now to the heavyweight division type thing, you know, and improving technically all the time, you know, so that was even more poetic, I think, the actual in-ring comparisons too.
I suppose, I mean, I've heard shit Seth Rollins getting chanted at me a few times, but even though they're saying shit, I still take it as a bit of a compliment.
That's not the worst thing, you know, Seth Rollins, fat man, you know, he's killing it.
Exactly.
So, obviously, you've got you kind of mentioned it as well. The upcoming Fight Club, obviously this Sunday coming up, rematch with BT. And it was quite quickly. I mean, what's kind of your feelings of your first defence? What's your thoughts on it?
What a fucking first defence, man. Me and BT, we've not had a singles encounter since they've been the first Hydro show when we had the casket match. So it's been a wee while. Like, we've always got a bit of chemistry when we step in the ring, so it's going to be interesting to see what happens when, obviously, we've never done it for the World Heavyweight title, so that's obviously an extra wee added bonus in there, so it'll be quite interesting to see how we can up ourselves for the last time.
Yeah, because obviously all these fight clubs in the garage, I mean, they've killed it this year as well. They've been absolutely brilliant, so I think this
just thank you
top it off. And you've also got to also look over your shoulder as well, because you've got the number one contenders match. It's going to be on that night as well.
That's it.
Another one of your old pals, Chris Renfrew, and BCT. I mean, if you had to kind of pick one, and obviously I know you're a guy, I mean, you're coming from the beating anybody, but if you beat BT and you had to pick between one of these two, who would be the one you would kind of want to face?
Yeah, both of them. Both of them. I hope it's a draw and I get to fight both of them. I don't know, that's a hard question, man. Like, I feel as if I've got a lot of chemistry and stuff with the both of them, kind of both on different sort of styles and stuff like that. I think it would take a bit less of a doing if I went in with DCT, but again, I don't think I could pick between the two of them, I think. I'm welcoming all and any challengers, so you can bring it on.
You've always have been a fighting champion in terms of loving anything you've had, you know. Obviously you've always been willing to take to one up everybody. So in terms of coming, we're on the road now to the next ABC, the Shugs. The weekend. What's the next few months got in store for you guys, obviously, in with the rest of the Filthy Generation? You're hoping just to continue just dominating the world?
Well, of course, exactly. It's not just a model, it's a way of life. Since the night we got together, we've absolutely ripped the arse out of that company, and I don't plan on stopping anytime soon. So it's obviously we're looking at maybe just taking over all together, maybe changing it to Friday Night Fight Club to Filth Club or something like that. But I'll be happy once I've taken over everything.
I'd definitely be on board with that. One final thing for you, mate. I mean, just in case BT's listening, you get any words for the upcoming show and any words before the garage?
Aye, he's a tough guy. Probably one of the toughest people I've faced inside the ring, but if you look at the track records, I mean, every time it means something, I always seem to walk away with a big W. So now that I'm on this steam train of success, I don't see this being the challenge to overturn it, so I feel quite confident.
That's all the questions I've got, Stevie. Again, thanks for giving us that kind of first insight, mate. That was good.
Yeah, no problem at all. We dominate the world.
Listen, cunts, I don't care what the fuck you think you're doing, whatever you think is more important with your life, you honking bag of dick tips. You know what you should be doing? You should be going online, you should be subscribing, you should be listening to the back catalogue of Eat, Sleep, Suplex, Retweet, whatever the fuck you're doing, that's what you should be doing. I don't care if it's your mum's birthday, I don't care if she's feeling contractions, get on it right now.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.